today on Real Radio.
It doesn't matter if you're early or late. It's always inconvenient. Life is inconvenient. That's why Jesus is never in a hurry, except in one point, Jesus is in a hurry in this one point, and he stresses it. He says, you come to me. You come. You come.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Compromise, Man's Easy Fix, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Many years have gone by since the Apostle Paul first began his missionary journeys, and now Paul is back in Jerusalem, and he's ready for the end of his mission. In the message called Paul Pleads Guilty from Acts chapter 24, we saw how Paul was lied against and his words were twisted when confronted by the Jewish leaders. So Paul pled guilty, but his confession was that outside of Christ we are dead in our sins, but in Christ we have the assurance that there is life after death. And only those who believe in Jesus will have eternal life forever with him. Now in Acts chapter 24, verses 22 through 27, we'll see how compromise only leads to indecisiveness, hesitation, lack of direction, and vision. We were created for a purpose, and part of that purpose is to know what to do and where and when to do it. Today on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that life is inconvenient. Whether we're too late or too early for something, we're always looking for a way out or one that's more convenient. We even wait to make a decision for Christ by not responding when we had that chance. But today is the day for salvation, and later may be too late. And now, continuing his lesson called Compromise, Man's Easy Fix, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Like I've been telling you about, the Holy Spirit will move in you, and he will begin to work these things out of your life. You mean he'll do it in me? Yeah, he'll do it in you. You mean he'll actually come inside? He'll come inside. You mean he'll change me? I don't have to change myself? Yes, you've got it. No kidding. This is interesting. Well, listen, you bet it's interesting, because people who don't choose Christ, look what the next word is that Paul deals with Felix about. Judgment. There's judgment to come. The word in the Greek is krima, and it means to avenge, to execute condemnation, judicial punishment. So in our vernacular, lower the axe. There's a day coming, the Bible teaches us, that judgment will be meted out. Listen carefully, read the fine print. Those of you who are Christians this morning, you and I will be judged in 2 Corinthians 5. We will be judged according to our works, whether they be good or bad, meaning if our motives are correct or not. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 10 through 11, we must all, that is the Christian, we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's not the judgment seat of the Father, people. There's a great difference. All Christians will stand before Jesus, and he's going to review our motives. And the word judgment seat right here, write it down in your margin. It's B-E-M-A in the Greek, bema, the bema seat of Christ. You know, you watch the Olympic Games? That's the bema seat. That's what that three-tiered step-level award platform is. It's called the bema. Go to the bema and receive your reward. Every one of the people who approach the bema and get on the bema get a reward. Did you notice that? Even the guy in third place. He's getting a reward, an award. All three are winners. Some first, second, or more winners than the third guy. Why? Well, in Bible, in Christianity, before Christ on that day, we will be judged according to our motives. Why are we doing what we're doing? It has nothing to do with salvation. You're in there. Isn't that great? But in Revelation chapter 20, beginning at verse 11, talks about the judgment where all those who have rejected Jesus will stand before, and none of them are saved. And the books will be opened up, and they'll be judged according to the books. And then the Bible says, Revelation 20, the book of life will be opened up, and their names are not written in the book of life. They never made that decision to come into the Lamb's book of life. And the Father will look at that book, and he'll say, man, your name's not here. Why isn't your name here? What do you mean? Your name's got to be in here to get to heaven. Okay, well, what's the deal? Well, didn't anybody in your life talk to you about Jesus Christ and coming to him freely and him dying and rising? Yeah, I thought that was a joke. I would never do something like that. That's stupid. That was the message that would have put your name in this book. How do you receive that? Does it sound like thunder to you? Or does it sound like an angel speaking? You can settle your eternal decision and your eternal path right now, today, before you leave this place. Look what's happening to Felix. It says here, Felix was afraid. This is a great word. Some of your old King James Bibles might have the word tremble. It's great. The word implies that your knees are knocking. In the Hebrew, the same word appears before in Babylon. Remember Belshazzar and they're writing on the wall in the party chamber when they're having that big drunken orgy party? And God's hand appears and writes to Belshazzar, "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin." What does that mean? Man, what does that mean? Get Daniel. Daniel, can you read that writing? Daniel looks at it and goes, "Yeah, man, are you in trouble?" What does it mean? I'll give you all the gold. I'll give you everything in the kingdom. Just tell me what it means. I saw this hand. It was just a hand writing on the wall. Well, many, many tekel upharsin, you have been weighed in the balances of God. Your little lightweight life has equated to zip. You're worthless, Belshazzar, even though you're king of Babylon. And the end of the word means that your time's up. Your numbers come up before God. So what does that mean? It means I'm going to get out of your way. And that night, and this is recorded in secular history, you don't have to read your Bible to get it. That night, the Medo-Persian Empire slipped under the gates and slit his throat, killed him dead. Just as God had said. There's a time coming. How do you hear this? Are you saying, I don't want to hear any more of this? Don't harden your heart. Why are you saying this? Because we love you. It's truth. It's in the Bible. I don't believe in the Bible. You will believe in the Bible. But it's better to believe now than to believe later. He loves you. And he's reaching out to you. So look what happens. He's afraid. And I could just see Paul right now nudge his buddy, maybe. Maybe it's Luke who wrote the book of Acts. Maybe Luke is there and Paul goes, hey, get the new believer's material ready. He's getting ready. I can see him. He's under conviction. He's being convicted. When you feel uneasy, like maybe you might right now, and you're saying, I'm not going to handle this. I don't need this. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. He's talking to you right now. Well, how come it feels so unusual? Because he wants you to set it straight. He wants you to come to Christ. And it's awesome to think that we'll make a decision. Enter Satan, no doubt. It says that he's afraid. And look what it says. Go away for now. When I have a more convenient time, I'll call for you then. That is exactly the way it works today. A more convenient time. Paul, can you see this happening? Boy, Paul, is it getting hot in here? Why do I feel this way? Usually this is the way I make people feel. Why do I feel this way? Paul, go away. Go away. I'll call for you when there's a convenient time. Let me ask you this. When is there a convenient time? When's there a convenient time? Have you noticed there's never a convenient time? I have tried to find a convenient time. It's never convenient. I heard somebody say recently, and I didn't laugh. It was not a thing to laugh about, but I almost had to crack up. The Channel 7 Eyewitness News, and it was Christmas Day, and I had the news on for whatever reasons, and somebody was in an accident and killed on the 605 or the 110 or whatever it was, and the reporter goes, it was a fatal accident on Christmas Day. Well, yeah, that is a bummer. That's rather inconvenient. But isn't death always a little inconvenient? When's a better day? You know, he had to die on Christmas Day. Why didn't he wait the day after Christmas? Well, ask him about it. I don't want to die at all. You see? It's never convenient. There's never a convenient time. Listen, when you're late to something, it's not convenient. They've already eaten everything. By the time you get there, it's gone. It's not convenient. When you're early, it's not convenient because you got to wait for everybody who's late to show up. It's never convenient. It doesn't matter if you're early or late. It's always inconvenient. Life is inconvenient. That's why Jesus is never in a hurry, except in one point, Jesus is in a hurry in this one point, and he stresses it. He says, you come to me. You come. You come. He wants people to come, and we need to come now. The third and final point is in verses 26 to 27, and we'll wrap it up here. Felix compromises the truth, and it's sad. Meanwhile, he also hoped that Paul would have given him money, that he might release him therefore he sent for him more often and conversed with him. Verse 26 is basically his hardening heart saying, Paul, if you just give me some money, this is great. You give me some money from all your Christian friends, I'll tell the Sanhedrin, the guys who have had you arrested and responsible for being in here, that I received your bribe and I let you go because I'm such a slime ball. They'll understand that if I receive a bribe from you and I turn you loose. Okay, can you do that? He's saving his own skin. Do you see what's going on here? Paul, I don't want to be caught in all this stuff. I don't want to come to a decision. Give me some money, I'll let you go, and we'll just call everything quits, okay? He's trying to find a way out. It says in verse 27, but that after 2 years, Procrius Festus succeeded Felix. Felix was booted out. He was almost hung by the neck, by the way. Wanting to do the Jews a favor, he left Paul bound. Just leave him there. Compromise. He wouldn't come to a place of decision. It's my heart's desire that this message brings us to a place of decision, even if we're believers in Jesus already, we're born again, and there's things that God's dealing in our lives with that we need to make a decision about what we'll do about this or that or the other thing. I'm going to leave you with this thought. Can you imagine Jesus walking by and maybe some Old Testament scholar walks by and says, hey, Jesus, how you doing? I read the Old Testament. I know all this. I know everything that's coming about you. I've read the book. What's Jesus' response? Oh, that's great. Good. Keep reading. Stay in the book. Oh, yeah. Hey, when are you going to do the cross thing? When are you going to go to the cross, you know, and die and all that? What if Jesus would have said, yeah, that's coming up in the book, and when is convenient? Later. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't have that attitude? I tell you what, you're not nearly as glad. We're not nearly as glad as we shall be the moment we enter eternity. And then we're going to be very glad. Jesus. No. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, in front of him, he endured the cross, despising all of its shame and its horrible, embarrassing aspects of it all. He went to the cross. Why? It says, for the joy that was set before him. That's you. You may not think so much about who you are, but God thinks the world of you, so much that he gave his son for you. Don't harden your heart. Let's pray. Lord, these are hard things. These are things that our culture tells us that we're to run away from. These are things that are not politically correct. These are things that are offensive. And Lord, isn't it strange that we have been polluted by a culture that tells us that the word offensive has to be an evil thing? When in reality, the word is like a sword that's double-edged. It could go either way. Against wickedness and evil, that is offensive. But against having to change our mind and admit that we need Jesus as our Lord and Savior and be confronted with the fact that there's no other way to heaven but through Him, that is offensive. It's offensive when a kingdom wars against another kingdom. And Lord, this morning in this place, there's a kingdom of light and a kingdom of darkness warring against each other. And right in the middle of it all, on the battlefield, is a heart and a mind and a soul with a name. And in Acts chapter 24, the name was Felix. But in the acts of our lives today, we can insert our name. I want you to think about this as we pray. I'm going to ask you in a moment to make a decision for Jesus Christ, but I need to make sure that you understand more accurately concerning the way. Jesus asks of us to come to Him. Receive me, He says. He says, I'll receive you. You proclaim me before men, I will proclaim you before my Father in heaven. Unfortunately, you leave me no alternative, though, that if you deny me before men by not responding and not choosing me, then you leave me no alternative in the end but to deny you. And I ask you this morning, how do you hear that tone, that pitch? Is it thunder? Is it a stormy, fiery slam of a fist? Or is it the reasonable, logical, intelligent, eternal response of a heart that knows it's done wrong in life and needs to be cleansed? I pray that that's your response this morning, that you would join us in loving Jesus. And maybe in this place this morning too, there's hearts that have boarded up, almost like a beautiful house at one point in time was flourishing and lawn manicured and sounds of life and joy running down the hallway and laughter in the rooms. But now it's boarded up and the weeds are covering up. And you're a believer. Your life has just become, though, just hardened by the events that have come across your path. You need this morning to just say, Jesus, I need your help now to set me straight again and help me walk this walk and help me to put my eyes on you and on no one or nobody, nothing. I'll leave that to you and the Lord. But to the people this morning that want to become a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you in a second to raise your hand, but it means that you're going to follow Jesus. I'd rather have you not raise your hand if you mean it, then to raise your hand and not mean it. You want to freely receive His forgiveness and invite the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, both of them come and dwell inside you and make you a brand new person. You can start life all over again. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if that's you this morning, can you put your hand up and I'll see your hand? God bless you. Back, God bless you, and off to my side, God bless you too. You can put your hands down. Anyone else? It's free, you guys. It's free. It's all free. God bless you in the middle. It's all free. It's a tremendous commitment. I don't want to downplay that. You don't have to jump through hoops and run an obstacle course. You just, by your hand going up, it means that in your heart, your will told your brain, put my hand up quick. The moment that will makes that decision, hand go up, you are confessing, man, I've sinned and I need Jesus in my life. Anyone else in this last moment before we pray? God bless you in the back. moment, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you who raised your hands to let these words fall off your lips. And I'm going to ask the believers to help them along by repeating it with them and greeting them into the family. I want to tell you right now, you may feel something tremendous. You may feel something like warm water flowing over you, or you may feel nothing at all. It doesn't matter. It's not by feeling, it's by faith. And the wonderful thing is God's going to do His part. Father, we come before you this morning, and I thank you for these that are here. And Father, there are those that cannot raise their hand. They're struggling. There's a war going on the inside. And my heart's desire, Father, is that they would confess you before it's too late. Father, for those who have raised their hands this morning, I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would so blow them away with your goodness, that you would so come upon them and meet them in their need. But even more important than that, Jesus, as they ask you in a moment, that you would come in, as your word says, forever. That if they truly receive you now by faith, you will come in. Just like you've done to all the rest of us here. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, I receive you today. I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Jesus, cleanse me now of my sins. Forgive me. Purge me. Receive me. I love you, Lord. And I thank you right now for saving me. In Jesus' name.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Compromise, Man's Easy Fix. Thanks for listening. And you know, the truth is, Jesus is always on time. He's never in a hurry, except in one area, and that is to make a decision to spend eternity in heaven with Him. But our time is limited, and you know, there's no better time than right now. Compromise, Man's Easy Fix. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. And if you've made a decision to follow Christ, or you've got questions about what salvation means, we encourage you to visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Once you're at the homepage, look for the tab called Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. Once you're there, you'll find guidance and a more clear understanding of the decision you made to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And please, let us know about your decision to follow Jesus by emailing us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. We're here to help you grow spiritually, and the love that Jesus is offering to you is free, no matter who or where you are or what you might have done. Once again, our website is reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Did you know that Real Radio can be shared with your family and friends who have questions about the gospel message? The Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet provides you with a wealth of information on sharing God's Word, and it makes a great witnessing tool. It gives you a variety of resources right there at your fingertips, including the Real Life TV broadcast, weekly devotionals, and the Real Radio daily audio broadcast, and that includes previous episodes. You can also check out our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, or go to YouTube and subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. There are over 500 videos readily available that include teachings, messages, intro clips to Christianity, or anything else that Pastor Jack wants to share with us. Our phone number, if you'd like to write this down, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.